This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
I am someone who is of the belief that most people are not racist, and that in the 21st century, in this day and age, we don't see many racial incidents like we might have seen in the South in the 1950s. And whenever it's widely reported that there is a racial incident of some sort, a lot of times what appears to be true at first glance, upon further review, isn't necessarily the case. And there's one thing that seems to be a pretty bad racial incident that is shaking up the March Madness tournament. And I want to bring in a gentleman that I have been accused of interrupting repeatedly, the legendary broadcast journalist who I didn't think I was interrupting, Dominic Carter.
What are you talking about interrupting?
The ladies yesterday said if I'm going to invite you on the program, I should let you talk and not interrupt, which I interrupt less than I think any talk show hosts
in
America. Wow.
People hear what they want to hear.
Clearly.
I guess she's forgetting that I'm here at your invitation.
That's right.
And that I wouldn't be here without you saying, Dominic, come join me.
Well, I'm glad you did join me. I'm glad you did accept this invitation because I want you to break this down for us because this NCAA tournament is supposed to be fun.
Well, wait a minute. I can't mess with you, Frank Morano. I can't do it. Because Lieberman does your show the other day, and then what, 48 hours later?
Oh, jeez.
48 hours later?
It's terrible. So we're going to get into that a little bit.
Okay, all right.
I just want the record to reflect. I mean, I have quite a bit to say about Senator Lieberman's passing.
Okay.
So the NC tournament is supposed to be a fun experience for the University of Utah's women basketball team. Instead, they're saying that the team was met with racial hate crimes the first night the team was in its host location. They were sent to Spokane for the first and second rounds of the tournament, but they were stationed in a hotel in Idaho, about 35 minutes away from the athletic center in Spokane. Apparently on Thursday night, the basketball team, along with members of the band and the cheerleading team, they gathered at a restaurant for a dinner to celebrate the season. And while walking to the restaurant, a white truck got near the team, revved its engines to make its presence known, and then yelled the N-word towards the team before speeding off. Then.
And the Confederate flag.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Then the team carries on with its dinner. 2 hours later, they're met with a similar situation when they started to leave the restaurant. This time, though, it was two trucks present, revving their engines and making a lot of noise and in what they said is an intimidating manner. Here's the head coach of the Utah women's basketball team, Lynn Roberts.
You know, we had several instances of some kind of racial hate crimes for our players, whether they are, white, black, green, whatever. No one knew how to handle it.
Dominic, I have to tell you, if someone had told me that this was going to be reported a week ago, I would have said, there's got to be more to it than that. Have you seen this story? What's your take on it? You always have a good gut reaction with this kind of thing.
Well, one, the FBI is investigating. And I'm familiar with each of these states very well. So I've never been to Spokane where they were playing, but I lived in the state of Washington. I've been to Idaho maybe five or six times giving speeches.
Really?
That's probably the only brother. No, it's only a joke. It's a joke. Because believe it or not, in Boise, Idaho, you do have, it's not a large minority. I spoke at a church there. So I was in Boise, and that's more of a city setting, right? Where it's almost like Denver, where you see the beautiful mountains off to the side and Boise. But we're not talking about Boise. We're talking about much smaller communities. So I've also been to Idaho Falls, right? Mm-hmm. That's very, very small. Now, I have to tell you, Frank, when I was there at these speaking opportunities, I didn't have a single problem. Now, I didn't see any other black people or minorities, but I was treated very, very well. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to tell you how I feel. The only time something like that happened to me, right, is Cortland, New York, upstate New York, where I went to college. And I used to work as a DJ. which would mean you get off 2 a.m. in the morning.
Sure.
This is when Madonna's music was just coming out. It was considered risque, right? So I'm walking home, 2 o'clock in the morning, a pickup truck, just like this situation. They drive by, and they yell the N-word loudly, right? And I was startled for a second. But then the only thing, and I don't know if I should say this, but the only way I could think to respond quickly enough, they said the actual N-word, and my response was, your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And because I wasn't going to let them know that they had startled me for a second, and they just kept going. Now these are young ladies. They're, you know, the basketball players. And so I'm sure it was shocking for them, the members of the Utah basketball team, because I've been in Utah many times, driving through to Wyoming or whatever to speak again. And in Utah, I didn't see many racial incidents. I didn't. And so I'm sure these athletes are not used to that. What it sounds like is you're going to have idiots everywhere.
Right.
Now, back in the 70s and 80s, that area was known for extremism, racial extremism. But again, I've been in Idaho 5 or 6 times, never a single problem.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, I mean, here we are, we're talking about it at a national radio show. The story's been picked up nationwide, all over the place. Is there a danger that by focusing on this story, we're inflating the likelihood of racism? Meaning, do we make it appear as if racism and racist incidents like this, as terrible as they are more commonplace than they actually are by talking about it? Or is it the right thing to talk about?
It's the right thing to talk about it, unfortunately. You can't ignore it. You can't ignore it. Because these 1 or 2 idiots, they'll stop now because they're going to be petrified that the FBI is going to come knocking on their door. And you can't just go around calling people the N-word because you feel like it. You can't do it. Now, you may not like the way some of the women on the basketball team look. You may feel whatever about their appearance. But that's not on you.
You don't think that this was targeted towards them because they're on the basketball team and maybe they were supporters of an opposing team or something like that, do you?
What I honestly think is that women's basketball today, some of the athletes don't fit the traditional type of what a female athlete, stereotype that we feel they should look like, and it makes it easier to engage in something like this. But you're always going to have an idiot somewhere.
I would have more expected that there would have been a gender or sexuality related hate speech directed towards them, you know, calling them different names for lesbians or transgender people or something along those lines.
But what's the one word that cuts like a knife?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you, if we're going to be honest about this, black kids in every city that you air right now, they call each other the N-word all the time. But what's the one time that will make them want to knock someone out?
Mm-hmm. If a white person,
says it. Mm-hmm. So, and so with these young ladies walking by and, you know, 1 or 2 knuckleheads, they can always mess it up for everybody. And so now the entire region is going to have a bad image. The FBI is looking into this, and it's unfair. It really is unfair. These young ladies are there to play basketball. They're not there as a political,
they're not there to make a statement or something.
They're there to play ball and then go back to Utah and go back to their home campus. It's unfair to put them through this. Now, some may say, well, they didn't mean it. They're just trying to get in their head so that the other team has a leg up, has an advantage. You'd be surprised what some teams will do to get an advantage over the opposing team. But this is a word. This is a word that you cannot do. You cannot do it. And this is why the FBI is investigating.
All right, I'm going to take your calls in a moment. 800-848-9222. Let me know what you think. 800-848-9222. Thank you, Dominic. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Lieberman. Man. I mean,
I don't mean to laugh.
No, but... no. We don't. I listen. You're kicking me out, but Lieberman, what? Two nights ago.
We had him on Friday, and apparently he died yesterday. So yeah, within about 48 hours, it's a real.
So it's been nice working with you, Frank.
Stay far away from that pickup truck that's outside your car right now. Just keep your distance.
Oh, if they do it to me, I'm going to say your mother. I'm going to say your sister, and then I'm going to laugh at them. So they can say it to me all they want.
Don't you know who I am? I'm the black guy that visited Boise, Idaho. Right, yeah, that's right, what you should
Boise
say.
Boise and Idaho Falls, and trust me, Frank, in Idaho Falls, I'm not going to speak. I didn't see no other black people.
I can imagine.
None. Maybe me and the deer.
That's how they build your speech, right?
We're going to get in trouble for this,
oh, yeah,
right?
I'm used to it. All right. Thank you, Dominic. 800-848-9222. Let's talk about what is coming up. Dominic mentioned Joe Lieberman. In all seriousness, I was a real great admirer of Senator Lieberman. Is this your water, Dominic, or you want me to throw this out for you? I realize my primary job is just picking up after you and Curtis. Yeah. Okay. All right. There you go. Don't worry. Hey, you just leave a couple. Try the pecan pie that I left in the kitchen for you. Yeah, it's quite good. Yeah. Check it out. I know you. Try it. It's good. It's from a doctor. Seriously. All right. 800-848-9222. We're having a little fun. Thank you. Michael Smirkanish is going to join us in a minute. Michael Smirkanish is one of my favorite commentators. He is the only hour of cable news that I try to watch each week. I'm going to talk a little bit about Senator Lieberman, talk a little bit about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the announcement of his running mate yesterday, or technically 2 days ago. He, has given a lot of airtime to Kennedy, to No Labels, and really has talked about how this could be the year that a third-party candidate makes some serious headway. So I'm going to ask him his view of where No Labels is now and what Kennedy's running mate does to the ticket. Also, we'll get into something he's doing, which I think is kind of interesting. It's called the Mingle Project, which I can't wait to hear more about. 800-848-9222. Let me begin with Jeff in the Queens. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, thanks. I just want to say, in the 80s, I went to this private school in Brookville called Lutheran, and it was like 50-50, black and white, and I was young. My two older brothers were 4 letters a year. Let me tell you, when the word term "what up" came out, I'll never forget it. I was walking down Senior Hall. I was in sixth grade, and I said "what up" to these two brothers, and they were like laughing. We didn't look at color. I don't get where all this racism came from out of the blue. I don't understand it. You know, I don't why they're refiring it up, man. There's, we came so far. I don't get it, bro.
Yeah, I think the reason this is news, honestly, is because racial incidents like this are so rare. I think that's why it's news. If there were racial incidents every day, the way there are car accidents, assaults, or murders, then this wouldn't be news. I think part of the reason this is so noteworthy is because of the progress that has been made since 50 or 60 years ago. Jeff, thanks for the call. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Ed, listening in KMOX in St. Louis. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing, making a living. I appreciate it, Ed. Thank you.
Hey, back in the mid-70s, I played basketball for a team in southern Idaho, and we played up in the northern Idaho area, and that was a pretty bad area to play. A lot of our players got abused while we were actually playing the game. They got yelled at, scared. The coach would actually pull them out of the game, and we'd have to put white players in to play. So it was kind of a deterrent for our team. We still won, and then afterwards we just got out of town. But that was in the 70s, and I know Coeur d'Alene up in that area still isn't the best area.
Now, when you say it's not I'm totally unfamiliar with the area, Ed. So when you say it's not the best area, do you mean in terms of racial incidents? Do you mean in terms of crime? What do you mean it's not the best area?
Racial incidents, mm-hmm. White extremists up in the northern part of Idaho.
Really?
As far as tracking them down, FBI, you can't track these people down up there. They're just that it's rural area, mountainous, and beautiful country, but You can't curb that up in there. The NCAA should know not to put a team in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, that's playing over in Spokane. There's plenty of hotels over there. Next year, Coeur d'Alene won't get anybody staying over there, much less an NCAA, you know, to play a regional.
Interesting. So you think part of this is a failure of planning?
Failure of planning. The area is known for that. The NCAA is at fault here. They should have known to put a team from Utah up into that area, which teams from Utah are notoriously majority white. I hate to say that, but I played in that area, and I myself am white. And we had very few – this is the 70s, though. We had very few black players on the team, football and basketball. So it's just – To put a majority white team up in that area, the NCAA should have known better than to do that.
Now, my understanding, Ed, is that this team is you know, mixed race, that there's white players, black players, and the like.
True.
I mean, I don't know – should the NCAA really be making arrangements, making hotel arrangements based on the race of the players?
For their safety, this area, they should know better. They could have put them in a hotel in Spokane, but not northern Idaho, not in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Interesting. Well, Ed, I appreciate the insight and your perspective. Call again, okay?
Okay, thanks, right. Frank.
Thank you. Let everybody know in St. Louis, we're on every day now. The deputy athletic director said, Ms. Green, said that she was struggling to comprehend the abuse to which the team had been subjected. Quote, she told KSL, which is one of the TV stations out there, "I will never forget the sound that I heard, the intimidation of the noise that came from that engine and the N-word." I mean, you think about it, that revving an engine is... it can be a pretty intimidating thing. I know that may sound silly, but it's not. It's not. She said, "I go to bed and I hear it every night since I've been here. I couldn't imagine us having to stay there and relive those moments. I feel terrible for these women. There's no reason they should have been subjected to this." And I mean, it's just awful. Absolutely awful. 800-848-9222. Melvin is in the Bronx. Hi, Melvin.
Greetings. Yes, it does not, as far as I know, because the United States is in a nation of denial. You talk about New York State back in the 50s. Well, Levittown, USA was built. The mortgages were guaranteed by the federal government, but there was a clause of no blacks to your flower. You go to Levittown, Garden City, 99.9% Caucasian. As far as the issues out here, all this other stuff going on, yes, why is gambling in the media? All the time, they bring right. You right here in your own state.
Melvin,
I missed a word. Let me finish up real quick. I got the solution is very simple. As long as you support the sons of the Confederacy and the daughters of the Confederacy, because you got a lawyer, Alan Dunwoody, who defended a white female's constitutional right to fly the stars.
All right. Well, he's also defending.
He agreed with
Melvin.
That.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Melvin, you're clearly not interested in having a conversation. So I appreciate you calling. But, you know, a conversation is a two-way street. You listen, you speak, you listen, you speak. 800-848-9222 if you want to comment. 800-848-9222 if you want to comment. Former Senator Joe Lieberman has passed away. Very sad news. And I certainly wouldn't call Joe Lieberman a friend, but he was someone that was a regular guest on this show and someone that I had a great deal of admiration for. And even when we had disagreements, which was frequent, but I am and he was just on the show on Friday, which is quite surreal. So a little bit later, we will play some clips of my interview, not only on Friday with Joe Lieberman, but some of our previous interviews as well. And we'll get into his legacy, what it means for the country, and more. So we'll talk about that. Michael Smirkanish joins me in just a moment. We'll talk about not only Senator Lieberman, but what's going on with No Labels, RFK, and the news of the day. You could also find me on Twitter, where I still call it Twitter. I know it's technically X, where I can be reached at Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. That's Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. And you can email me as well at frank.morano@redappleaudionetworks.com. That's frank.morano at redappleaudionetworks.com. All right. Michael Smirkanish, the great Michael Smirkanish, joins us straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. There are many things that can be said about Michael Smirkanish and why I just absolutely love him as a fan. Nothing beyond that. It is the only hour, as far as I'm concerned, of original programming on cable news, period. Does a terrific show on Sirius Satellite Radio. Best-selling author, accomplished attorney. But I think the thing that really stands out for Michael Smirkanish and me is that he's trying to get all of us out of our bubble. And what he's doing now with something called the Mingle Project is incredibly exciting. We're going to talk about it in a moment. Very, very happy to welcome back to the program the one and only Michael Smirkanish. Michael, it's great to talk to you.
Frank, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, congratulations on your 10-year anniversary. And don't take this the wrong way, I have no idea how you've made it 10 years on CNN or any cable news network, because your show is just so different from the rest of what's on CNN. How have you been able to hide out that long, Michael?
I'm very fortunate that both at SiriusXM and CNN, I'm given wide latitude, wide berth. And I say to people, if you don't like the content, if you don't like the guest, if you don't like the commentary, blame me, because for better or worse, I'm the one who's making the decisions as to what you're going to hear or what you're going to watch. And I think that's really been to my advantage. I also think the fact that I'm Philly based and I'm not in the bubble and I'm not caught up in the groupthink. And you would understand this, Frank, doing what you do for a living. The radio work that I do is a great proving ground for television, because things that have worked well on radio or issues that I've gotten into that I don't think are being covered by the cable world, I'm able to then incorporate into my television program. And not everything works. I mean, you're on the air for a long shift. I'm on the air for a long shift. And it's almost like Major League Baseball. If you're a 300 hitter, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. And I'm only taking my best stuff to television, because, you know, why would I take the things that I was disappointed in?
Yeah, it's a lot easier for me when it comes to topic selection, because I just steal whatever's in the newsletter at smirkanish.com, and most of those are right on the money when it comes to topics. By the way, if people are not reading your newsletter, I do encourage them, go to smirkanish.com, sign up for the newsletter. It really tells you everything that you need to know, including a lot of stories that nobody else is talking about. Where you find all these headlines and all these talk topics and stories, it's a testament to the amount of show prep you're doing.
Look, it's free and it's worthy, and you sign up for it, and at 8 a.m. Eastern time in your email in bin, I'm giving you 20 links that are drawn from the left, they're drawn from the right, they're drawn from the center. And the comment that I most hear is that people say, I scroll through your newsletter, and after 2 or 3 minutes, I walk out the door knowing what are the big stories of the day and what do I need to know. And that's high praise.
Michael, you're a true independent in every sense of the word, and we lost a real American patriot yesterday, also someone that has the distinction of being one of only three independents this century elected to the U.S. Senate. Give me your thoughts, your reaction on the passing of former Senator Joe Lieberman.
Oh, my gosh. I was so saddened to hear the news, and I immediately took to X, and I said this. I said, such a gentleman, a model of civility, a patriot, great sense of humor, a true no-labels role model insofar as he was the Democratic vice presidential candidate in 2000, as everybody knows. But within 8 years, he was under serious consideration to be the Republican vice presidential candidate in 2008. I had the privilege of interviewing him on many occasions over the years. One funny encounter, Frank, when the Phillies won the World Series in 2008, and he was out stumping for his good friend John McCain, and he wanted to come on my radio show, but it was the day of the Phillies victory parade. And I was in a second story of a restaurant looking down on the parade route. And we said, Senator, we'd love to have you, but you got to come over to the parade location. And he did. And it was funny because the only color sweater that he had packed for the trip was red, which we had great fun in talking about how it was Phillies red. He was just a joy to be around. He really, really was. And the last interview that I did with him was within the last month, talking about no labels. I don't know who fills that void. As you point out, so few like him.
You know, I just interviewed him a couple of days ago, and he very passionate about everything that's going on with no labels. Do you think without a high profile spokesman like him, no labels is going to have a much harder time mobilizing popular support and donor support?
I think he provided a lot of comfort and sage-like counsel, not only to the organization, but he was also a guy who had credibility. So if he would come on your program, if he would come on my program and he would talk about it, you'd take him seriously in a way that not many others would be afforded, you know, the benefit of the doubt. I think that's how I'd say it.
We'll talk with Michael Smirkanish. Michael, if people are hearing you for the first time, what I love about you is you kind of challenge where they come from. People are so accustomed to eating turkey and mash every day, turkey and mash, getting either left-wing content or right-wing content. You go, and this is what I love about you, and I try to do this, you go all over the place, and you're totally unpredictable in your predictions, the topics that you're going to cover, and you've been more willing on both radio and TV to focus on some of the third party options. Two of the third party options that have gotten the most attention in this cycle have been the no labels movement. There was talk of Larry Hogan. There was talk of Joe Manchin. Looks like those are not coming to fruition. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We don't know who the no labels candidate is going to be yet, but we know now who the Kennedy Shanahan ticket is going to consist of. In a minute, give me your thoughts on the third party options this year, and you think they can make a meaningful impact?
So you can't beat somebody with nobody. I think that in the abstract, and I'm thinking of no labels now, in the abstract, people overwhelmingly like the idea. 70% don't want, they say to pollsters, don't want Biden and they don't want Trump. So there's a market out there for an opportunity, and you couple that with the fact that a plurality of the country say they are independent, that they're not Republican or Democratic or progressive. It leaves an opportunity. But then, Frank, you say, okay, who? And no labels is struggling. I mean, no labels so far has no candidate so far. And some of those marquee names that might be out there about which we could agree, I guess, are not interested in doing what's necessary to run for president. When people say to me, give me a name, who, if you could just like write in a name and they would automatically be the president, who would it be? And I say Admiral William McGraven is my top choice, or maybe Admiral James Stavridis, you know, two guys of distinguished moral character and military service, solid citizens. I don't even know whether they're left or right on particular issues. I just believe so much in either one of them. But no labels has not been able to come up with a ticket, much less a presidential candidate thus far. And I'm not convinced that they will. RFK Jr., I don't accept the conventional wisdom that says he's going to harm Joe Biden, because I followed him closely. I paid attention to the speech earlier this week with Nicole Shanahan, just like I did the speech when he first announced. And if you pay close attention to what he's offering, it's not entirely left or right. It's very nuanced. And I think I could see him pulling from Trump and pulling from Biden in equal numbers. I don't know. It's too soon. But, you know, because, and I thank you for this, because you pay attention to things that I say, I think we're better served when we have more choices. And I don't get caught up in the game of, well, this person's a spoiler and that person's a spoiler. The more the merrier. Let them all run and go earn your keep if you want to defeat a third party candidate.
Amen. And if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Michael Smirkanish. Michael, I want to talk to you about the Mingle Project, which I think is very exciting. But really, I think the fundamental aspect of what makes the Mingle Project exciting and what you do on radio and TV makes that exciting is getting people out of their bubble. It's one of the reasons I was hopeful when NBC News announced the hiring of Ronna McDaniel, because there's no one on NBC News, really, or MSNBC, that deviates from the standard party line. There's no Trump supporters at all explaining that the 45 to 50% of the country that supports Trump are not beamed here from some foreign planet. I guess that didn't work out too well, did it?
So I believe that, you know, I personally want to sell sneakers to Republicans and Democrats and independents. And I want all voices heard on my programs. And I invite guests from a variety of perspectives. I think it's not only good content, but I also think it's in the best interest of the country. And I think that bad things happen when we all resort to our ideologically driven media silos, where it's either a Fox News world or it's an MSNBC world, which I don't think is a real depiction of the real world, because the people that I'm exposed to or that I meet when I travel around the country, they see the world as, you know, a mixed perspective. Maybe they're conservative on economic issues and more liberal or progressive on social issues, but you don't get that typically in a lot of media outlets. So it's a long-winded way of me saying that I thought it was a good thing for NBC and MSNBC to have, I'm not sure if this is the best descriptor, but a MAGA representative. Whether it should have been Ronna McDaniel, I don't know. But I think that the 45 or 46% of this country who are ready to go vote for Donald Trump again need to be given a seat at the table and need to have their voices heard. Doesn't mean that you have to accept everything they say, but I don't believe in being exclusionary.
I'm sure they're going to love her replacement, Steve Bannon, Roger Stone, or Stephen Miller, whoever it ends up being.
Right.
All right. The Mingle Project. This is very exciting. It's coming to my backyard, Long Island, Monday, June 17th. Tickets just went on sale this week. Explain to folks what the Mingle Project is, Michael.
Can you give me directions to Northport? Because I'm a fish out of water. You know, it's funny. If you say Long Island to me, do you know what I think of? The Nassau County Coliseum, where in the spring of 1980, I was one of the very few and privileged who got to see Pink Floyd perform The Wall. That's my first a great memory of the island. The Mingle Project is me on a crusade to try and instill or restore civility, to talk about compromise, and to draw attention to the fact that for the three decades I've had a microphone in front of me, I have seen the increase of this polarization in our social, in our media, in our social media, and in our politics. And now you throw in the role of technology and the way that it's fueling self-sorting and keeping our kids not together, but encouraging them to be apart from one another and not having in-person experiences and common experiences. And I've interviewed so many authors who've enlightened me on this subject. Jonathan Haidt, just this week, who released a book called The Anxious Generation, or Robert Putnam, who wrote Bowling Alone, Bill Bishop, The Big Sort, Gene Twenge, I Generation. And what I try to do is tie together the very latest thinking from the social psychologists, the political insight that I have, some anecdote, and hopefully a little bit of humor. And I'm making a pitch. I'm saying, we got to get together despite our political differences, and here's how and why we need to do it. And frankly, getting together in a theater like I'm going to in Northport is itself mingling. Frank, I think about my parents. You know, I grew up in a small community outside of Philadelphia. My dad, who was a school teacher and then guidance counselor, he refereed high school and college football. He belonged to the Masonic Lodge. He was in the Rotary Club. Mom was in the VIA which was a women's group that raised money for the local hospital. In other words, they are very active in their community. They established what we would refer to as social ties or weak ties. And today we are less a society of volunteers and joiners, and instead we're leading sheltered existences. Well, for the good of the country and for the good of our own mental health, we got to break out of our bubbles. That is the Mingle Project.
I think it's great. And you've chronicled the issues of an uptick in depression, an uptick in things like loneliness, a decline
definitely
in something as elementary as people having sex. And that all comes with no interpersonal interaction. I'm hoping to be there on June 17th. It's going to be at the John Engelman Theater in Northport. How do people get tickets if they want to go, Michael?
You know what? It's easily Googled because of the theater and through my social media. So if they simply put in the name of the theater, which is spelled E-N-G-E-M-A-N or Smirkanish, you'll find it easily. I give a shout out to an 89-year-old gent on the island named Charles Reichert. He's a retired grocer. He did very well, and then he started to do good, meaning he made money, and that's a good thing. And then he became a philanthropist for kids and for cops and first responders. And I met Charlie years ago, and he's the one who put the bug in my ear and said, "You speak all over the country. Will you please come to Long Island?" And if it weren't for Charlie Reichert, I wouldn't be coming on June 17, but I can't wait to be there.
Wonderful. I'm going to lead a similar mission to get you back to Staten Island. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Good luck with
Thanks
the Mingle
for inviting
Project.
Me. It's always a privilege, Frank. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. See Michael Smirkanish on Smirkanish every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's then replayed usually at 3 p.m. Eastern. It is appointment watching in our house. Even my two-year-old son, Carmine, when I turn the television on Saturday morning, he says in a very babyish sort of voice, Smirkanish. Even he knows it's time to watch Smirkanish. You can also certainly listen to him on Sirius XM or check out the great headlines he puts together every day at smirkanish.com. If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, give me a call, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
The circus has fallen down on its knees. The big top is crumbling down. It's raining in Baltimore, 50 miles east. Should be no one's around. I need a phone call. I need a raincoat. I need a big love.
The Counting Crows. It's raining in Baltimore. Baltimore still reeling from the bridge collapse that took place a couple of days ago. We did not hear the music selections from our listener of the week, Ray in Baltimore, who was kind enough to give us kind of live updates on the situation with the bridge collapse as it was unfolding. So we picked a couple of Baltimore-related songs in his honor, but Ray has my email, and he's welcome to shoot me some suggestions if he wants. The latest on that, and if time permits, we'll get into it a bit later, but the remains of two people have been recovered as more details are emerging about this Baltimore bridge collapse. It's a sad situation all the way around, just an absolutely tragic situation economically, but really primarily for the families of these people that are not going to come home again. We'll get into it a bit later. 800-848-9222. If you want to comment on any portion of my discussion with Michael Smirkanish, 800-848-9222. Meantime, you know, it's funny. My wife, it was my wife's birthday yesterday, and she remarked to me something that I never thought of until she mentioned it, but it really never bothered me. She said she got a dozen, maybe more, at least a dozen text messages and emails from companies wishing her a happy birthday, including companies that she doesn't do business with any longer. And she didn't like getting these, you know, 20-something text messages and emails from strangers, including, let's say she went for a, you know, a COVID test years ago at an NYU Langone facility. They send her an email. She didn't like that basically these people that don't know her, these anonymous automated systems, are all sending her these emails. And I thought, I don't know, that's kind of nice to be getting an email birthday greeting from someone, even if it's someone that happens to be a stranger. She viewed it as just email and text message clutter. She kept picking up her phone, thinking maybe that it was an important work call or a friend or a family member wishing her a happy birthday. And, oh, it's JCPenney wishing her a happy birthday. I'm curious what you think about that, because I have to confess, until she mentioned that yesterday, that was not something I had spent 1 second ever thinking about. But then I realized I get that, too. I get, you know, happy birthday from, you know, every casino that I've ever been to. They're certainly eager for me to come out there and spend my birthday with them. You get happy birthday from all these companies. I wonder how that started. And I don't know. I see what she's saying and I see why she's annoyed by it. I think it's kind of nice. In this era in which all you get are bills, I mean, I guess this is a form of junk mail. I don't know. It's nice to be wished happy birthday by somebody, even if it is a stranger. So let me know what you think. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. A little bit later, we will chat about the life and legacy of former Senator Joe Lieberman, who was just on this show on Friday. If you didn't get to hear this, you know, it's so funny because maybe we'll play this clip a little later. But I asked him, because it didn't seem like a crazy thought at the time, I asked him if he would consider running for president this year on the No Labels ticket, because he is in the leadership of this organization, No Labels. And to me, it struck me as a very sensible question. And he basically had a response that his days of running for office were over. But it's just so strange to think that 3 days ago he was so full of life and so full of vim and vigor that I was asking him if he'd run for president, and he's not much older than either of the two candidates that are running now, and now he's gone. It's really a sad situation, because I did admire him a great deal. 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Pete in New Jersey. Hi, Pete. Hey, Pete, by the way, you're not the guy that won the Mega Millions lottery in New Jersey, are you?
Everybody would hate me if that was true.
Not me. No. I'd be your best friend.
Oh, come on. I was going to give you half of this.
Exactly. Exactly, Pete. What's on your mind?
My 65 years of experience in life, my analysis is that the entire white liberal and Jewish liberal of our generation, the poetry from the Beatles and their spirituality is what they have all anchored their hopes upon, which is all drug-induced poetry. And yet the whole entire generation of liberals has put their hope in the Beatles and they're like, it's their spirituality and it's all phony baloney.
All right. Well, we will make sure not to play any Beatles music going forward. We played a Wings song yesterday from Paul McCartney. Hopefully that's not the same drug-induced spirituality that you want purged from the minds of, as you said, white and Jewish liberals. 800-848-9222. Chris is in the Catskills. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Frank.
Morning.
So in regards to polling, 7-plus months prior to the election, the presidential election, one thing I wouldn't trust any of these polls being worth their weight unless they list multiple candidates, let's say two, or could be more than that before it's all said and done. But and especially it should be according to which candidates are on which states' ballots in the battleground states. If they don't have them listed, a head-to-head poll between Trump and Biden means absolutely nothing. And one thing that I'm finding a little bit interesting, let's say, is that on CNN, just like a week or a week and a half ago, they had a poll where Trump was ahead in a particular battleground state by quite a bit. And I saw that the margin of error was 10.7%. And this was a CNN poll. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, you know, having taken statistics and research methods, you know, graduate level for master's degrees, undergraduate, that's a ridiculously high margin of error. So that poll is really worth nothing.
I don't think that any polls for in March for an election that's going to take place in November are worth anything at all. And honestly, I think the amount of time that people on radio and TV spend talking about polling instead of issues, I think it's a little bit of a waste of time. I mean, wouldn't you rather spend the minute or two that you're spending on polling? Who's going to win this state? Who's going to win that state? Wouldn't you rather spend the time talking about who's got a better tax plan? Who's got a better foreign policy? Who's got a better plan to fix the border? And yet, because there's a finite amount of time on TV and radio, every minute that's spent discussing polls is spent at the exclusion of substantive issues.
I agree with that. Being a wonk, I totally agree with that. But the gatekeepers of radio and television media, being whichever persuasion ideology they would seem to favor from their content, they play on people's emotions. They play on the audience's emotions. And now the recent poll in the last day came out saying that all of a sudden there's been a shift.
Well, so
and that
Chris,
Biden is ahead in the battleground.
Yeah,
stage.
But so
and these margin of errors are 3% and 4%. It makes me wonder,
Chris,
they're not manipulating.
How about
the
we take a
data.
Vow, Chris? How about we take a vow to not mention the polls from now until November and just not talk about them? And the less we talk about them, that gives us more time to talk about real issues like inflation, the economy, the border, crime, abortion, civil rights, free speech, social media, AI. I mean, aren't, climate change, aren't there, Russia, Ukraine, Israel, aren't there enough real issues that we can talk about that we don't need to worry about? Well, you know, with a 4.5-point margin of error, President Biden's leading by 1 point in Michigan. Well, but a 5.5-point margin of error in Pennsylvania has Biden leading. I mean, who cares? There are going to be so many hoops that so many different things that occur between now and November. There's going to be at least one criminal trial. You have, I mean, every day is something blockbuster. Why let the polls dictate anything? What good does that do to you, the voter, or just even as an American? Are you really going to sit there and say, oh, well, Joe Biden's ahead in Michigan, now I'm going to vote for Joe Biden, or vice versa? What difference does it make? I think it's a giant waste of time, and it's really only that something that people talk about in the media bubble. And I think they do a disservice to the people that focus on these polls. I think they do a disservice to the public. You know, I like what groups like Free and Equal are doing and bring you candidates that you've never heard of, bringing you all sorts of different perspectives on the issues. I think we need more of that, less time talking about polling, fundraising, and gaffes. Although, you know, look, I'll admit the gaffes can be quite funny, and I've spent some time playing audio these gaffes. 800-848-9222. William, what's on your mind?
Yes, Frank. I wanted to say, they're turning America to one big cartoon. First of all, we need to get into capitalism instead of communism. The second thing, I'm in church working, and the lady said, oh, it's her birthday. So I gave her a birthday card, and I stashed a little money in there. All of a sudden, she's like, the sandwich costs $5. I gave her $5. She says, I need a dollar extra for tax. I'm not even married to this woman. What did you suggest about all these personalities flying all over the place like a hurricane and a tornado?
Well, but I don't understand. Well, so if you wanted to give her a birthday gift with a little cash in it, which I think is nice, I mean, what difference does it make if she, you know, used it for a sandwich or anything else? Or your point is that she was being ungrateful by asking for an extra dollar.
Thank you. Like I don't have to pay the tax on it. It's getting out of hand.
Right. She should have just said thank you. She should have just said thank you.
Either that or talk to Charlie Chaplin. Okay. It's getting out of hand. And the UFOs, they do exist. Those are the stars in the sky. And I wanted to tell you about Hugh Hefner, that other guy that he married the young women. Well, there's going to be a younger man to take the money from them. You ever seen the Twilight Zone movie?
Many
That's
times.
How it goes down.
Thank
I'm
you,
I'm leaving
William.
That deck of cards with you all the time. We love you, big
boy. I appreciate it, man. All right. 800-848-9222. A lot to get to. The passing of Senator Joe Lieberman and more. If you want to stay in touch, you can find me on Twitter at Frank Morano. That's Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. In the words of the great Bob Barker, help control the pet population. Get your dog or cat spayed or neutered.